Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, joining me in the Jokes podcast studio, it's comedian Danny Ward.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Danny. How are you doing?
Very fine, thanks, Mark. Very fine.
Yeah? Very fine, thanks. Very fine. That's like a bit of, that's like your catchphrase
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Have you done that on purpose?
Yeah. It's a friend of mine just used to say it. How are you? Very fine. And I thought I've just nicked it.
Oh, lovely. So what's been going on?
Partridge, champ. Partridge.
Oh, you went to watch Alan Partridge?
Went to see Alan Partridge.
At the O2?
Yeah, I got a last minute email saying that they were giving some free tickets away.
Lovely.
So I guess, and when
cash
I went online,
back.
There was a, nice. When I went online, there was only about 100 available. And they were all right, you know, the bowl, the upper bowl, at the back. There was just a couple of, you know, seats here and there. But for some reason, they decided that they, you know, wanted to fill them for free. So
brilliant.
For a £2.75 booking charge,
yeah,
there I was, down at the O2, three stops on the tube.
Out of five?
I'd give it 4 out of 5, to be honest.
Wow, that's good.
I really enjoyed it. And I was trying to think, you know, this is 1997 that we were watching this, you know, the really iconic sitcom seasons. It was 1997, it was 25 years.
1997?
I mean, it was the character existed previous to that, but you know, the really big, you
just know. The Iron Man and Partridge
sitcom.
Iron
Man and Partridge, yeah, the sitcom.
Because when I was at university, and that would have been 03 to 06,
yeah,
we would constantly quote Partridge all the time.
Oh yeah, I used to remember, like, when you got back from a night out, you just watch Partridge, and then, you know, the DVD holding page. Remember the old days, the DVD?
Oh, where it bounces around. Oh, wasn't it like the Bangkok Chick Boys?
Yeah, and it's just that bow, 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 bow music, and he's just there sort of dancing.
Oh, yes.
And I remember a couple of times waking up on the sofa in the living room at university with that playing at like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Why are you doing that with your glasses, Danny?
I don't know, sorry. And
that looks like a new character you're doing. It looks sort of, yeah, I quite like that.
So these are my readers, so I can't see you if I've got them on. That's what.
But you're not reading anything, so what have you got?
I don't know.
So you went to the Partridge.
So I went to Partridge, right? I went to Partridge, and but
how do you feel about comedy in an arena?
Well,
because I've got. Okay, yeah, you tell me.
You tell me what you think.
So I don't think it's good.
Yeah.
So I've seen it in arenas a few times. So if I'm going to see a big name, I want to see him intimate. I think 2,000 seater max. To get the best experience. The first time I went to the O2 was the O2 Comedy Gala. The first time they did a comedy gala. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Where they had about a million acts.
I do.
All top acts. And it was a really interesting experience because it started great. And then, as with any show, it was too long. Too many acts. And then the acts started to struggle, which was interesting to see top named acts sort of struggle. But not like proper
which
struggle.
Which top names, Mark?
Not like proper struggle. But then I saw something incredible, and that was Lee Evans. So the gig was really tough. Everyone was tired. Everyone just wanted to go home. Lee Evans came on, and I've never seen a masterclass in playing that, like an arena like that. He started and his first 2, 3, 4, 5 jokes didn't really get anything, and then just, I can't explain it, it just went whoosh, and he smashed it like he just started the show. Like, it was incredible. He had the best gig of the night. It was just in just the difference in level is madness.
it's the astonishing lack of focus in the space that sort of made me think.
Too much to look at.
I've never been to a comedy at an arena before. Mm. And not just any arena, it's the O2, right? It's humongous. And I'm right at the back. And from my vantage point, looking at the stage when Partridge is on there, I mean, I can see him, but yeah. I can't see any facial. So what I did is I'm watching TV for the whole time there.
Yeah,
you're watching the TVs to the sides. If you weren't, you wouldn't be able to see what was happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, for £2.75, I didn't mind to go and sit there and watch TV.
Oh, yeah.
But it's one of those things where how do you fill a stage that big if you're just standing there talking? Mm. Obviously, if you're doing a show like that, he's got a big screen. He's doing a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah.
There's backing dancers. Mm. There's all sorts going on.
Yeah.
So that sort of helped, I think, hold people's attention when there was almost a constant stream of people walking around.
Really?
In the arena. Yeah. It started half an hour late because someone screwed the pooch and didn't realise how many... Basically, you know, it was 40-year-old blokes going who just want a drink.
Right.
In quite large groups. Mm. And there was hardly any bars open, hardly any bar staff. So the whole show started half an hour late. I was in the queue to get a drink in the interval. I was fifth in the queue. And by the time they called us back in, I'd got served.
Wow.
There was 500 people behind who didn't.
Yeah.
So I think they kept the bar open a bit because there was the interval was about 40 minutes. So the show went way past 10.
So facilities out of 5?
Oh, mate. Too.
But what you're saying about lots of things to see, I think that's why Lee Evans is so effective, is because he's just, you can't take your eyes off him because of the way he moves on stage and he uses the whole space. Whereas a lot of the comedians that were on that bill are kind of just stand there.
But here's
comedians.
The thing, Mark, now it's going in the either opposite direction, because when during the interval, I just saw they had some adverts, you know, on the light strips around the arena.
Yeah.
And one of them was
the Quip of the Mark tour coming to the O2. I can't remember.
Oh,
whether,
I'm not sure.
I can't remember if that was.
Are we doing the O2?
I don't think we are doing London.
We've got some London dates in, I'm sure.
Oh, no, it's the Leicester Square Theatre
in
London. Leicester Square Theatre in London. Where else are we going?
Yeah.
Barton on Humber, Leeds, Chorley, Bristol, Banbury, Brighton, Oxford, Burnham on Sea, Bridport, Norwich, Sale, Maidstone, Cambridge, Birmingham, Guildford, London, Derby, Leicester, Carlisle, Liverpool, and Cardiff. More dates to be added. If you want tickets, head over to marksimmons.co.uk or any of the links in my bios on my social media. Oh, thanks for bringing that up, Danny. That was quite handy.
No worries at all.
Have you been working on any other bits lately?
Just something that might be a bit old hat, Mark.
Old hat? Something you thought about?
Yeah, something I've been... Because it's that time of year where we go through our notes on our phones, you know, and I've got 2 years' worth to see what wheat I can separate from the chaff and you know, crowbar into an Edinburgh show.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've been doing this last week.
Right, let's road test it here. What
just,
you got?
Well, it was just about asking someone what they do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
I try to make myself a rule not to do it.
Right.
But it sometimes pops out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it is because I think unless, like you, you've got a joke for anything that someone says, why are you asking?
Mm.
Then my also point was I thinking, well, this I need to put my readers on now, is that when you ask someone what do you do for a living, right, I say, you know, why do I care what you do for a living, yeah? Because it's not like you're defined by what you do for a living. Because, you know, if we're defined by what we do for a living, then as a comedian, I'd be an anxious, insecure egomaniac. And, you know, everyone agrees that Danny Ward's not an egomaniac.
Okay, that's cool. So the core of the joke is you think everyone is thinking about Dan has made the that's the you are being an egomaniac because you assume everyone's thought about this. Is that the joke?
The joke is that comedians are egomaniacs. Like,
yeah. I feel like there's a joke there that you haven't even.
Ah, probably. Yeah. What's that then?
Well, the fact that I think everyone agrees that Danny Ward is an egomaniac. Is that's an egomaniac?
Yes,
sort of
that's
thing.
The joke. Yes, that's
yeah,
the, oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I did know that bit. Yeah,
yeah. So, but I feel like maybe that could be telegraphed more. Maybe have you tried that live?
No, I'll be slotting that in tonight. I think.
I think it's a bit subtle at the moment.
Yes.
So what would how would you go into that bit? Would you sort of say, comedians always ask people what they do for a living?
No, I think what I do is say, what do you do for a living? They'd tell me, and say, actually, and then they'd tell me. I go, well, why am I asking? Why do I care? Why does it matter what you do for a living? It's not like we get defined. We're not defined by what we do for a living, are we? Because if we did, then as a comedian, I'd be an insecure egomaniac. And everyone knows Danny Ward's not an insecure egomaniac.
I don't. So what? Okay, let's break this down. Why is there a reason insecure's in there? Does that actually, is that a part of the joke?
Well, isn't that what people just think that comedians are naturally?
Yeah.
Needy,
but, yeah,
insecure.
But if it's not part of the joke, I feel like that might be confusing it a bit. I think you could go, everyone's just saying, I'm an egomaniac.
Ah.
And then the concentration on egomaniac for the joke
would work better,
I think. Unless, because I was trying to get my head around with the insecure thing, is you asking people, is that because you're insecure? Like, is there a double layer there? But I feel like that might be too much going on.
Yeah. Maybe it is overcomplicated.
So, but maybe to really hammer it home is like, I mean, I assume everybody here has thought about it and knows. I feel like the punchline needs to be really spelled out to people.
Yeah, because maybe it's only comedians who think that comedians are.
No. I think by saying egomaniacs, I think everyone can get on board with that because you're on stage trying to
make strangers laugh.
Maybe you need to spell that out in the setup, in saying, you know, comedians on stage trying to get everybody, wants everyone's attention. People assume we're egomaniacs. And then go, oh, how did you word the punch?
Everyone knows Danny Ward isn't an egomaniac. It's just because I've caught myself in the third person, you see. That's the joke.
Do you think that's the joke?
Sort of. How can you not be an egomaniac if you just refer to yourself in the third person?
No. Yeah, 100%. But I think more so the fact that you assume everybody knows you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like there's a better punch there. I feel like that's a bit.
Well, I'll raise it up the flagpole tonight, see who salutes.
Yeah, and see what the vibe is. Because it's definitely something there.
Yeah, I mean, this again.
What's another thing you could. What's another demonstration of being an egomaniac? What could you say that everyone would go, that's something an egomaniac would say?
I don't know. I'm just casting ahead here to the next piece.
Oh, we're going to another piece.
Well, no, it's just.
Save it for Patreon.
What I mean is, because then it can lead into egomaniac. Say, oh, whilst. Everyone knows Danny Ward's not an egomaniac. But whilst we're talking about me, and then that can lead into the Daniel De Winter piece.
Oh, yeah. So do you think.
And obviously, we're not talking about me. I'm talking about me. So, but whilst we are talking about me, I did some research recently and found out that my granddad was adopted. And that could lead into the whole Daniel De Winter thing, but that obviously would only make sense to previous listeners.
Yeah. That's perfect link. But I'm going back. I feel like you can cut out the punchline and just go to that. So the me bit is the egomaniac, isn't it? So you could say, everyone just assumes as a comedian, I'm an egomaniac. Anyway, let's get back on track. More about me. Do you know what I mean? That's. I feel like that spells out that you're egomaniac. That you want to talk about yourself. We've stumbled on that.
Yeah, that might be it. And then that leads into the nice Daniel De Winter
piece, which is two or three minutes
long. So by my reckoning, plus the introductory video, which is 2.5 minutes.
You've got 10 minutes.
I've got at least, let's not get cocky, Mark. I've got at least 9.5 there.
Brilliant. Oh, lovely. Okay, cracking.
2 month countdown.
2 month countdown. And you are getting it in not in real time. You're getting it in a weekly chunk time. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Sounds good. We've got a cracking episode for you today. We've only got blooming Andrew White in the house. Here's Andrew White. So this is ideal time to do this. So you just had a preview and about to do another one. So have you dropped any bits, or have you... just if there's something that didn't quite work, have you just tried to tweak it?
Yeah, there's a few tweaks. My big problem at the moment is narrative more than jokes.
Okay.
Because I'm doing a lot of jokes that I do in club sets anyway, so I'm quite happy with the jokes. Just trying to make sure they fit with the show story.
Oh, so you're creating a show around jokes that already work.
Sort of. My club set and this show have kind of come up simultaneously.
Right.
It's been very convenient for me to run out the material and then see how I make it all fit together.
Okay, cool. So have you got any examples of anything that you've... I mean, obviously you don't want to give anything away that you're going to do in the show this year, but is there anything you've dropped from the show because it hasn't worked yet?
There's a few things that, yeah, I've got a long routine about football and being a football fan.
Okay.
Because I'm quite camp and big musical theatre fan, and I kind of don't fit as a football hooligan.
Is that the
hooligan? Yeah. And it's really, it's one of my favourite bits to do, but I feel like I'm just shoehorning it in the show, so I've had to cut that.
So that doesn't fit.
Doesn't fit, yeah.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, it's really one of my favourite bits.
What's it? Oh, what's the angle of the show?
It's about wanting to become a gay icon, okay. mainly out of spite for all the men that have ghosted me, gone straight after getting with me, which I've managed to achieve with four men so far.
Oh, lovely.
Because I've become such a gay icon, and so like
you could start offering that as a service.
Well, that's one of the jokes of the show.
Very homophobic parents.
Yeah, it's one of the jokes. Like for a while, I thought I was the only effective conversion therapy.
Yeah. Oh, that's really funny. So how come the football bit won't fit in that? Because it's still in the same realm, is it not?
Yeah, I mean it may come back into it.
Well, have you just got enough other stuff that fits better?
I do have. I think that's more that is the stuff that fits better in the narrative. Oh. Although it's there in my back pocket if I want it.
Well, you can save that for next year, and you could build your whole show around
football. Yeah,
around football. Yeah. What football team do you support?
Bournemouth, AFC Bournemouth. Which is another.
They're very happy at the moment.
Yeah, we just got promoted.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's another angle in that nobody.
Next West Ham player manager you got there?
Yes, Scott Parker.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't go into such. You know, because I find it. I've tried talking about football before on stage. And yeah. I find 50% of the audience always switch off.
So do you think? Yes. So that's 100%. People don't.
So yeah. I start from a musical theatre angle.
Yes.
And then I say, look, my musical theatre doesn't fit in at football.
So that way, that's really nice because then obviously the people that like football are still on board.
Yeah.
The people that don't like football, you're coming from the angle. Yeah, so you're coming from their angle.
Yeah, almost. Give them an in.
That's good. I find that like sometimes things that you do in your normal life don't match comedy. It's like I do taekwondo, and I've done it since I was 5.
Wow.
I've competed quite a high level. I've taught it for years, but I can't mention that on stage. Because
I never knew this.
Exactly. Wow. But it doesn't fit because as a comedian, and because I'm a bit of a sort of, I'm kind of the idiot in a lot of my jokes.
Yeah.
So as soon as you suddenly say you can fight, the dynamic completely changes. It's.
Have you tried it? Do people get their backs up?
I have mentioned it, but it just doesn't fit. It doesn't just go with the job, I don't think. It's like, I don't know, unless it's like a character. Because also, as soon as you say you're a black belt and all that sort of stuff, a lot of blokes in there will be like, oh, right, he reckons he's hard, does it? Do you know what I mean?
It's
that kind of thing. I just don't think it suits stand-up. And the same with you and football, I guess, it's that same. Although yours is about how you wouldn't think that would match.
Yeah. So, because when I've talked about football before, I've talked about playing in goal and that, and or some of the kind of chance between the teams.
Yeah.
And just starting out by just talking about football, you lose half the audience. They don't know about football, they don't care about football. They assume it's gonna be.
Some people really hate football.
Yeah, quite like aggressively. So it never really clicked that stuff.
Also, do you think if you're so you're selling your show as the description you said, do you think, I don't think that's gonna attract football fans anyway.
No.
So
maybe it's best to
I don't know. Interesting, but like you say, you found that there's a definite difference when you change the angle in.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, that's cool. It's a shame you can't do that. But like I say, just have to. Well, what might happen is if you ever have a really ropey show up in Edinburgh, which like a Wednesday,
will definitely happen. Yeah,
you'll get through the material so quick. You'll look at your watch like, I think I have time for the football.
Do the football bit, yeah. After my big show conclusion, I'm like, still got 5. Here's an encore for you.
That's fun. So have you got anything down of bits that you sort of have liked in the past but couldn't actually get to work?
Yeah, well, I'll start with a football one, actually. I don't know. I think it's quite clever. And but it does require a bit of knowledge about football chants.
Okay.
It's just, you know, it's hard because I'm Bournemouth and the South Coast and you feel really bad. All these northern clubs come down and you see the kind of the north-south divide. You know, there really is a lack of infrastructure funding up in the north because all these northern fans, they come down and they're just asking, is this a library? They don't know. They don't know what one looks like. It's tragic. But I think people don't know the chant, is this a library?
Yeah, well, I don't know that chant, but I worked out what they were doing.
Yeah,
but that's because I guess because I know the sort of things that they chant. That's really funny.
Thank you.
That's really funny. Have you got other ones like that?
Yeah, I've got some, but they're kind of more accessible, like once.
Because you could go at the angle of them being really thick and not knowing what a library is.
Yeah, because that's the risk. When I first wrote it down, yeah. I was like, I can't...
You don't want to be attacking them too much.
So you start as if you're attacking the North-South Divide, but then you come off as...
You are the idiot.
One. Yeah.
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 I really like that. So what response does that get?
It doesn't get anything. I mean, it's okay. Sometimes people will be like, oh, yeah, I get it. But, I mean, most audiences and the majority of people in an audience don't really react to it.
Oh, that's... I don't know. Maybe is there anything you could, like in the fact that you can in the build up setting up that maybe because in that setup you don't really set up that Bournemouth is like a quiet, boring. Yeah. Not saying it's boring.
No,
but like and a lot of the because it's an old. Yeah, there's a lot of old people in Bournemouth. So
in the longer bit about football, I do talk about Bournemouth being very tame and
right.
So maybe yeah.
But have you ever done that before you do that joke?
I think so. Yeah, I don't remember it ever going... That's
really
annoying.
I think that's really funny. But then again, like you say, if 50% of people just don't know anything about football,
yeah.
They might switch off as soon as just because you started talking about it.
So in some other bits, I do sing the chants. So maybe if I sing the chant and then do the joke. So that maybe if I have to create the frame of reference for them.
Is this a library?
Is this a library?
Is that how they do it?
Yeah.
I've never heard that one, but then, like, I'm a West Ham supporter, so I don't think anyone's ever shouted, is this a library at West Ham?
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, that's fun. Okay, cool. What else have you got down?
I've got a mix of phone notes and physical notes.
Great.
I've got an extended bit. Again, this is like a joke within a bit that's never quite worked.
Right.
About conversion therapy. I talk about... I feel it must be so confusing for young gay Christian men. You know, they're told, you know, can't have any gay thoughts. You can't want to have sex with men or anything. And they get sent to conversion therapy to beat off the devil. But it doesn't get anything.
Why?
I'm really glad you're laughing at these. Honestly, the audiences, I'd never get anything from the
maybe it's in the way, because maybe it's delivered in a way that it doesn't feel like a punch. That's funny.
I do have a bad habit of throwing away punchlines. Right. Because I feel, I quite
you
like
almost
a sort
act
of...
the bit too well.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to properly
go
for
that.
So
why doesn't that work? So how do you word the punchline again?
They're told they mustn't have gay thoughts, but then they're sent to conversion therapy to beat off the devil.
they send them to Peter for Devil, or we send them to, and then they send them to conversion therapy where they're told to beat off the devil. Does that feel like more of a punchline?
Maybe to beat off. Really like lean into the word. It got a few likes on TikTok. I did it as a throwaway, like filmed it in a camera for TikTok, and that got a few likes.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
I was just thinking, can you, like, how can you get across? Do you think the audience don't know what to beat off someone is?
I did wonder this. Yeah, maybe it's, I've kind of overstretched the how common that phrase is.
I mean, I personally don't ever like it, any, a joke being too on the nose, like too obvious. Mm. But would actually miming beat off the devil?
Yeah, just to catch everyone.
Would that work?
Maybe, yeah.
How many times have you done that one?
Twice.
I mean, only twice. Yeah. Okay. But beat off the devil, is that... Oh, and also then, is that actually what they say?
No, I think I've invented the.
That might be an issue because with it being something that isn't generally said.
Yeah.
Would like the people that say you must beat off the devil?
Yeah, I feel like I have heard that like yelled like by like some like kind of over ecstasy.
I feel like maybe you went. What if you went to conversion therapy? You were forced to go, and she said. And it was awful until the nun said I should beat off the devil. I was like, oh, yeah. Maybe that's the angle of someone says to you, beat off the devil, and then you do the punch is the reaction to,
that's a double joke of it's the wordplay and also me being horny, I guess.
yeah, exactly. And I noticed that generally conversation jokes tend to work better than just relaying something that's going on. So you reacted to her because it's your misunderstanding then.
Yeah.
She said, beat off the devil. I was like, what would be a response to, have you got some lube? Or that's a bit too on the nose, but.
Oh, where is he? We'll just go, where?
Yeah, no, beat off the devil. Where is he? Yeah, that's that. But I mean, if you beat, like, I was just trying to think, can they take that at face value that you want to know where he is so you can beat him off? Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't, because if you're beating someone off, as in the devil, get rid of him.
Yeah,
he's going to be right there anyway, isn't
yeah.
he? So, yeah, maybe if you say, do you think by saying it in a camp way, like where is he, would help get across what you're saying?
Yeah, maybe because I'm not.
Where is he? I think to me that's I think that's funny. I think that's really good.
Where is he? To go where
yeah,
is
or and try that, and I feel like
I'll try it today,
because that way you're not setting the joke up as when you say beat off the devil, that's not the punch, so you're not expecting where that saying might not be that might not be a real saying.
Yeah,
but by her saying it to you, that creates it that it is a real saying.
It's my misunderstanding then.
Yeah, yeah. And also that must be a real saying from the Christian person because they're saying it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're almost forcing the audience to know something that doesn't really exist.
Yeah, it's similar to the is there a library chant? Is this library then? If I do it, if I put it in somebody else's mouth first, then it exists, even if you don't
yes.
know it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah that's true, yeah. Mm. That's good. I think you should try that. That's
yeah, I'll do it today because yeah. in the show I do have a...
And I think really can go sort of... Oh, yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Really?
Oh, where is he? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where is he? Hello, everybody. Mark Simmons here from The Present. I thought you might like to know that after we recorded the interview, Andrew tried the joke. He then sent me the audio, and, you know, I thought you guys might be interested. So here it is.
And then these instructors at these conversion therapy camps are like, we must beat off the devil. Oh, yes, please. Sounds like my cup of tea.
Okay, everyone. Back to the show.
Because I do dip into camp very occasionally.
Yeah.
I'm fairly kind of flamboyant, I guess, but like camp, I only kind of dial up when I need it.
In stand-up,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, that's cool. And that probably adds so much to it when you do it if it's not all the time.
Yeah, it does help.
That's interesting. So what? Don't say to tell us the joke, but what other situation would you camp up a bit?
there's a, in I've got these rainbow trainers on, and I go, oh, I've got these rainbow trainers because I'm, okay. I start like doing like limp wristed and get kind of like
right.
quite,
yeah, yeah,
kind
yeah.
of, quite clearly physically camp.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The rug pull is because I love the NHS. But yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, yeah, really funny. Is that in the new show?
No, it's not.
Oh, that's.
Because I didn't want to, I didn't want any material that I had to wear something for.
Right.
So if I've got these on in a club set, I'll do it because it's there.
Yeah.
But I don't want to wear.
Why is that? Why is that?
I don't know. I feel guilty, kind of almost like it's set up in a prop. And I worry as well that the audience will be like, oh, well, he just wore that for that.
Are they the rainbow?
These are the ones, yeah.
They can't really see anyway, so that.
No, yeah.
But you could say that with anything. Anything rainbowy you've got on, you could do, couldn't you? Same yeah. would still work.
I do because I've
interesting.
Got. I've got another bit about the rainbow shoes in, and I used to only do it if I had the shoes on, and then recently I've got to wear them, but I really wanted to do the bit, so I just referenced them. I said, "Oh, I've got these rainbow shoes."
Yeah.
And the bit worked fine. They don't need to see it.
No.
And you're right. Actually, most people won't be able to see it.
So you could do that all the time anyway.
Yeah.
I've got these
rainbow trainers.
I'm really annoyed. Or anything, doesn't have to be trainers. You could literally say a shirt.
Yeah.
Normally on stage, I wear a rainbow shirt because you know that's cool. Yeah. So would you add that to the show then if you could do it without having to?
Maybe. You know what though? I mean,
it's quite a nice in, I guess. Yeah. Do you like to establish that you're gay in at the beginning?
Well, this is so I'm trying not to actually.
Yeah.
I mean, the show's called Andrew White brackets, but not in a gay way. So I feel like from the title and the description, you'll know.
Yeah.
There was an interesting thing. Susie Ruffle did her, when I went to see her show in 2019, she just got into the show. She didn't have like a coming out joke and stuff. And
but do you think that is maybe because she's like quite well known?
She is high profile. But there was something very kind of,
yeah.
I know, for me as a queer person to not have somebody like, explain themselves on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
So I try and not where I can. I don't like necessarily. I used to have loads of like coming out jokes in my, you know, in my back pocket. To
yeah.
Could be like, hey, look, here's the situation. But I kind of don't want to do that anymore.
So if you didn't do that, have you got any jokes that are about being gay in the show? So would if you suddenly went into the joke, would the jokes still sort of work without them being told? Or is there a moment where everyone's going, oh, he's gay, and then...
Yeah, I wonder, yeah. I don't know whether... Yeah, maybe there's some material that I can't do very early on.
Yeah.
Because I think that it will be such a gear change. I don't know if I'm talking about 10-man orgies or something. But that's probably quite a lot.
It's a lot of men.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 8 max. Oh, right, that's interesting, yeah.
But if just referencing, I know, a boyfriend or a boy crush, I feel like that's a gentle enough sort of thing. It's like
yeah, because then you go into the joke. So you don't, the joke isn't boyfriend. That's the lead in. So, yeah, so that's not going to sway the laugh while they're going, oh, right, he's, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Also, where the show's called, I mean,
yeah,
at the festival title. Here, it's not got a title.
Right.
So maybe I will have to reference it. But at the Fringe, I'm hoping people will just know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's
unless they're thinking, but not in a gay way, and they're like, oh, finally, some straight stand-up.
that could be one of your jokes. That's quite funny.
Yeah, maybe I'll refer, because I do have a joke about the titling of the show, so maybe I'll put it into that. They're like, oh, we thought it was like a blessed relief. Finally, no more puffs prancing about the stage.
Okay, cool. What else have you got, Dan?
Yeah, let's see what I've... Again, this kind of comes back to gay labels and queer labels. I say I'm gay, but I'm probably because I say I'm gay because I'm 95% of the people I'm attracted to are men.
Right.
Really, I'd be on the bisexual spectrum, but for me, practically, it's so much easier to say gay.
Yeah.
And also, of the 5% of women I fancy, most of them are boyish lesbians. So that feels like an optical trip up rather than any sort of sexuality change. There's that as a truth, and then saying, All right, but I don't care. I don't care about the label. I don't care what you call me. That's just for me, practically, it's just easier to say I'm gay. It explains it in the quickest way.
Yeah.
I don't need gay as a label for myself. I need gay as a label for my career. I'm just, yeah.
Yeah, and so what happens with that when you do it, reaction-wise, to the different bits?
The career bit's fine. That works all right.
Like the final punch, you mean?
Yeah. But people, I think... I don't know whether it's too conceptual about the sort of being 95%, attracting to 95% men, boyish lesbians, and that kind of being an optical trip up. I don't know whether doesn't get as good a reaction.
No, I mean, there's quite a lot to take in, isn't there?
I've done it in front of a queer audience. I did it kind of an LGBT heavy night, and it went well.
Okay.
But all other crowds, it's quite a lot to take in.
Because I guess if you don't, I suppose, they're just trying to process what that means, I suppose. But yeah, so when you do that bit, if that last bit works, is it too long a build up for you without consistent laughs to get to that one punch?
Yeah, it's exactly. It doesn't feel like
I think that's quite a fun bit about the 95%. Would you try and think of another angle to try and find the joke within that? Like, would you sit and try and think of another way of getting a laugh in that section?
Yeah, I think it needs more around it. Maybe that's not kind of... And why am I saying that? Where does that come from? It's kind of out of nowhere, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you mean the
I say I'm gay, but, you know, it's only because it's easiest.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, this may... At the moment, it's not causing any issues, but this down the line... there is, I don't know if you heard the concept of bi erasure. Bisexual erasure.
No, I don't know what that is.
It's kind of often done quite maliciously, where somebody will either say, if you're bi, you've just not made up your mind, you're actually gay or you're actually straight, or, and
is people's judgment of those people.
Yeah, yeah. So, right. I worry that maybe me saying that I'm on the bisexual spectrum by identifying as gay, whether that's going to be a problem in a couple of years' time.
Oh.
But I mean, I'm that is basically the truth of it.
So is the rule within the labels, if there's any percentage that you might be attracted to a woman, but that's, you have to be labeled as bi?
Maybe I have to make this argument that it's just personal to me. Because I don't care. If somebody says, oh, you're bi then, it's like, oh, I don't care. Well, it doesn't matter what you call me or what I call myself. Who I'm attracted to is who I'm attracted to.
But it almost feels like a waste of time saying you're bi, because nearly, it's probably never even going
to... Yeah. Well, how I explained it to my friends when I first came out was, because I came out as bi first, and then I was like, no, I am just gay. It's like, you know, if there was like a beach full of, I don't know, 100 topless people, 50-50. If it was a beach full of 100... topless women and like one who are like beautiful and one kind of all right looking topless man.
I just need to visualize this.
Yeah.
So, right, got it. I'm there. What's happening?
So, 100 topless women.
Yeah.
Very attractive.
Oh,
one like kind of medium attractive topless man. I'd go straight to the man.
Okay.
So, that feels pretty gay, right?
Well, in this, that's me, mate, because I'm the only guy on that beach at the moment, so
you're in paradise, and I'm just staring at you, Mark.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's pretty gay.
Yeah, maybe I should say that, because that's the true story. That's how I explained it to my.
Yeah, but that's quite a nice way of getting it across. That is fun. Yeah, it's worth trying, isn't it, on stage and seeing if you'll get a vibe if there's something in it as a bit. I think if you say it.
I do. There's a lovely gig in the Bill Murray every month called Gigless, which is the crowd that's very, very queer that I've tried a lot of stuff at.
Yeah.
So I'll run it out there in a bit of a safe space.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, because so if you do a gig to like quite a queer audience, would if you say something that isn't cool or isn't quite, could be problematic, is that a good place that they would tell you? Do you think?
Yeah, because actually...
Or if they don't laugh, is that just the indicator that it's not...
Yeah, I feel like it's either gone one of two ways. It's either I've either dumbed it down too much and they feel patronized. It's like, well, yeah, we know that.
Right.
Or I have kind of overstepped the mark. But they won't, you know, they won't get up in arms about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of, yeah, you just won't get the laugh.
Yeah.
It's useful. Ideally I'd want, you know, straight people are welcome at my shows. You are welcome. There's not door policy. But, yeah, a kind of queer audience is what I'm aiming for, really.
Nice.
Just because it's, you know, you've got a shared language and...
Well,
actually, I have this as a bit. My dream audience, my dream front row, it's a daughter who's she's doing a musical theatre course. She's great. You know, financially, she's not going to support me a lot in my career, but she's lovely. She's a great audience member.
Yeah.
A gay son who's academic. He's doing a PhD, maybe. He's fit. He's yeah. Gay son. He's great. There's maybe a bit of chemistry there. a mum who loves Elton John. Big Elton John fan. Thinks Graham Norton's a real hoot. She's lovely. They're all on the front row. And then the fourth person is a dad who just fucking hates me. Just like really despises my very being. Like I want him to hate me so much that it puts his son's coming out story back about 2 years. That's my dream. That's my dream front row.
Do you say this in the show?
No, I just break it out. Like sometimes if an audience is, I don't know, if I slip into a bit of back and forth with an audience, I'll kind of say, you're not my dream audience. So I'll take you, of course, but you know, I'll describe my dream audience.
Oh, that's good. And that works, does it?
Yeah, that's something like that.
Do 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 do, Andrew White. Hashtag awooga to Andrew White. There we go. Great, great, great stuff. Great content. Great episode. Any feedback? Let us know at Jokes with Mark across all social media. We love hearing from you. I've had a couple of comments about the what do you call that? What I just did? Jingle. The new jingle. For those that you don't know, I could get Joel to send me the real jingle. Let us know whether you which you prefer. Let's have a vote. Let me know on social media at Jokes with Mark. Do you prefer the new jingle, which I am doing, freestyle, or the old jingle? Let us know. I gigged with comedian Sean Gorman. Do you know Sean Gorman?
Yeah.
He said to me. He said it sounds funny, but he said it's out of tune. He said my jingle's out of tune, and I didn't know that.
Sounds perfectly pitched to me, Mark.
I didn't even know you could have that out of tune. It's just sort of. How would you do it? What show is that?
Blind Date.
Of course it is. That's not the end of the episode. If you'd like to listen to the full episode, head over to patreon.com/jokeswithmark for all the bonus content. Over 100 extra podcasts over there. Go check it out. Okay, Danny, anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you?
Nothing more from me, Danny. Hashtag awooga, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.